Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Of every good and
good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones's book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with the worship CD birthed during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org. or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast. To God be all the glory, all the glory. I pray that everyone has had a wonderful day and that God has kept you, and you know that it was Him that kept you, and that you are giving Him praise and honor and glory even right now. Well, as always, I am just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This is a network that's doing the work of the kingdom building throughout the world. And we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building. So to God be the glory. Amen and amen and amen. I also would like to extend an invitation to everyone to come out and join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service via Facebook Live. God has been blessing us. We have been utilizing social media since the pandemic, and God is just allowing us to continually do that. And even when we go back into the building, we're going to still have our social media presence. So that's 10 o'clock via Facebook Live, and it's under Rehoboth Family Life Center. You can find us on Facebook, and that's where we'll be doing the broadcast from. Invite your family and friends to join in with us. You know, this is such an awesome time to evangelize and to share the good news of the gospel. You can also join us for our Bible study Tuesday night at 8 o'clock via Zoom audio. And you can go to our church Facebook page to get the information to connect. We are being blessed. We have some anointed and wonderful teachers that are just giving their gift back to the Lord on Tuesday night, and we are being blessed. So come out and hang out with us on Tuesday night as well. I always say that Tuesday is a time where we can just continually recharge for the rest of the week. Sunday is never enough, that we have to stay in the Word even during the week as well. So come and hang out with us on Sunday and also on Tuesday evening. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. Excuse me. Open us up in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and jump into the Word for tonight. So, Father God, we just bless you, God. God, and we honor you, Lord God, and we adore you, Lord. I thank you for your loving kindness, oh God, and your tender mercies, God. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you do and all that is still yet to come. And I thank you, Lord God, for knowing even tonight that you're a God that's faithful, you're a God that's able, and you're a God that's kind, and you're a God that watches over us, your people. And for that, my Lord, we are grateful. So I pray tonight, like God, that you would bless these, your people that have come to the broadcast tonight. I pray that if there be any sick among us, that, Father, that you would touch, God, even now, in the name of Jesus, that healing indeed would be their portion. I pray that, God, that minds would be uplifted tonight, that minds would be changed tonight, and hearts would be mended tonight, and that folks would get what they need, God, for the days ahead. So, Father, we thank you. And, Father, I come and I give myself back to you, Lord God. I say that they hear none of me but all of you tonight, that everything that you have said to say in the way that you say to say it, that I shall do. And, God, I'll thank you for it. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And, God, I will say that it was you, because it's always you. It's always you that moves and works and blesses and keeps, God. And for that, I'm grateful. So, God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Well, the title of my message tonight is You Got Next, You Got Next. And I had the opportunity to bring forth this to the church about a month ago, and I was just led to bring it to you guys on tonight. Well, since the beginning of the year, God has been speaking to us at Rehoboth about new day, new things, and new ways. And I have been sharing on prior months on the broadcast on this same topic, new day, new things, and new ways. And God has just been allowing us to have offshoots from that overarching theme. Because when you think about new day, new things, and new ways, God is telling us that there are some things that are about to happen upon the earth. There's a next that God is doing in the earth, in the church, and our personal individual lives. But the question that I have for you tonight is, but do you got next? Do you got next? Are you going to be in the next move of God? When folks say they got next, they got to be ready to jump in and play. They have to have the understanding of the game, and they got to have some skills. You know, and the brothers may be on the line tonight, you know, whenever they say, I got next, and they about to jump in, they start talking a lot of smack, you know, like, I know I can take the next round. And so when you say you got next, that's saying you ready, you about to, it's your turn, and you about to take the game over. And so we have to have that same attitude when it comes to the things of God. Are we ready? Are we ready to be in the next move of God? Are we ready to do the things that God is doing in the earth? Are we actually able to say that I got next? So what are we going to do tonight? We're going to look at how to position ourselves to be able to truly say, yup, I got next. I'm ready, and it is now my turn. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody needs to just begin to declare that I got next. I got next. I got next. I'm ready, and now it is my turn. So one of the first things when you're talking about I got next, you have to have an expectation that there is a next, because how can you be in the next if you're not expecting a next? Expectation. Let's look at that. Expectation means the act or state of looking forward or anticipating a prospect of future good or profit, the degree of a probability that something will occur, to look for with reason or justification, to anticipate the birth of. So my other question, not only do you have next, but what is your level of expectation of the next? Are you excited? You're not sure about the next? That we're so occupied by the noun in our lives, But God said to us tonight that we got to raise our level of expecting the next. Because a lot of times if you're not expecting something, you're not looking for it, it can come and you may even miss it. But when God tells us that there is a next, new day, new things and new ways, then we have to begin to position ourselves in a place where we're expecting the next. And how can we do that? We can trust what God has said, and we can trust his word. Isaiah chapter 55, starting with verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He says right here that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And he says that as high heaven, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So sometimes that we're looking for it to happen the way we look at things. But God is such a magnificent God that he has so many ways of doing things. I was talking to someone about 2 weeks ago, and they were in a situation, and they said, "Well, these are my options. These are my options of how this is going to work out or what I need to do." And I said, "Wait a minute, hold it." I said, "Hold it. You know, we serve a omnipotent God. We serve a strategic God. We serve a God that knows everything, and that, yes, we can come up with means and we can come up with ways, but he already told us, 'But my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts.'" God has so many ways of doing things. And I said to the person, I said, "But no," I said, "these are the options that you see, you readily see." I said, "But we're going to wait on God. We're going to see how God's going to work this thing out, because God has so many more ways of working it out and fixing a situation than we can see." So we've got to raise our level of expectation. And I'm speaking to someone directly tonight. You may be in a situation and you're wondering how in the world this can change and how can God bring me out of this? But God said tonight, "But baby, you got to be expecting that I'm going to do this thing. You got to be expecting and looking for me to come and bring you out, because I said that there is a new day, there's new things, and there's new ways." So if I'm declaring that over your life, then there's no way that you can remain in that situation. But you got to look and say, "But I know indeed that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that he's going to bring me out, and I know that there's something greater that he has for me." So we got to raise our level of expectation. Stop looking at what it's not, but look at who this God is and what he possesses and what he said and what he has declared even in his word. Also, we're talking about expectation. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Right here. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You got to be expecting. I got an expected end. Why? Because my daddy says so. My daddy says that he has thoughts towards me of peace and not of evil, to give me, hear me now, to give me an expected end. We have to understand that it's already done, y'all. It's already done. God's already done it. And now he's circling back. Our story has already been written. But God knows what the expected end is. He knows our purpose. He knows our destiny. And he knows the process to get to that. And so we have to have a place where we're like, but God, I thank you. I thank you in advance. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I just know what you said, God, and I'm going to trust you until I see it come to pass. Mark 9:23-24, Jesus said unto him, and this is the father whose son was being possessed by demons, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus said to the man, he said, but if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thy my unbelief. And see, God, oh, hallelujah, I am so grateful that God understands that we are in a body of flesh. And this is where this man was. Here he was. He had a son, and I'm quite sure that people had came through town. I'm quite sure that he kicked out some money, and people said that they could heal this boy, but nobody could do it. Even the disciples couldn't do it. But Jesus said, but if you would just believe, he said, if you believe, it shall come to pass. But he said, But the father says, but I believe, but help my unbelief. And so that's letting us know that in those situations where we're having those hard days, that, you know, we ain't always on our game, as they put it. We ain't always ready to jump into the next. But there are days when you may feel like I don't know. I just don't know. But that's when we have audience with God. We can have audience with him, and we can go to him and say, Daddy, I'm struggling today. I am really struggling. I don't know how this thing is going to pan out. And I know that you're able, God, but I know that it's possible, and I believe that you can do it. But today, I'm just struggling. I'm struggling with this. I'm really struggling with this. But you can go to God, and God already knows the days that we're struggling, and God understands the struggle. And I believe that when we go to him and we say to him, but I'm really struggling today, Daddy. I just need you to give me something. Tell me something. Say something. Show me something. Touch. Say something. Give me a song. Give me something. That God does do that. God will give you a witness to solidify even the more of what he's going to do in your life. So don't feel like when you're having those days where you may be sad, where you may be like, I'm not sure. I'm just struggling with this thing. Then go to God. Tell God, how do you feel? And that's what the man did. He says, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. There were areas, because he kept looking at the boy, and he looked at God, and he kept thinking about all the people that came, and he's like, I wonder if it's going to be another situation like that it looked like it's going to happen, but it don't happen. But he says, but help me in that area. So we can go to God and ask God to help us in our struggles when we're having those days when we're not sure and we're not feeling confidence and our expectation, our level of expectation is low, then we can go to God and talk to him about that. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, glory unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, until the glory of God by us. Everything that God has said, everything that God has promised, everything that God has told you, everything that God has shown you, it is going to come to pass. And what I love about this verse, it says, unto the glory of God by us. Do you understand that when God moves in our situation and people are looking and people are knowing your situation and they see you come out, that's what gives God glory, because then you're able to say, but it was nobody but God that did that. No, my witness would be, and my testimony is, but nobody could have done that but God. And people that are looking on, and God is allowing certain people to look on, and they know that nobody could have did that but God. Nobody. That's what gives him glory. So know tonight that all the promises of him are yea and amen. God said at the top of the year, new day, new things, and new ways. Now, we've been in the pandemic. We've been in quarantine, and things are starting to open. But we've got to realize that with them even opening, there's still some caution. I'm going to drop that right there. There's some cautions that we still have to take. It's not time to just throw caution to the wind, but also God is saying that because things are opening, but we've got to look at things differently. The way we lived our lives prior to the pandemic is not the way we're going to have to live life after the pandemic or even during the pandemic, during this season. There's a new way of living because it's a new day, the new way, and the new things. But the promises of God are yea and amen, that we've got to stay before God and with an expectation that I know that my Father has me, I know that he loves me, and I know that he is going to bring me through. Because what happens is when we don't have an expectation, we start to do things. We start to act irrational. That's what the word is I'm looking for, irrational. We start to do things that are irrational. We start to do things trying to make a way out of nowhere, and we're trying to do it, and we're doing it without the instructions of God. That is not going to work. Right here, I'm going to drop this for somebody, that right now you're thinking of a way to get you out of the situation that you're in. But I'm going to say to you tonight, wait on God. Wait on God and trust him, because the way that you're trying to bring yourself out is going to dig a deeper hole for you. Hear me now. It's going to dig a deeper hole for you. It's going to cause you to have to stay in that thing longer, and you're going to lose some things if you do it the way you're planning to do it without the counsel of the Almighty God. Oh, glory to God. And right here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we see a prime example of what I just said. And we all know about Samuel and Saul. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 13. And it says, "And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed." This is where Samuel told Saul, he says, "I want you to go to Gilgal, meet me there." And he says, "And I want you to wait, 7 days, and I'm going to come." And he said, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he may salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself," hear me now, "I forced myself therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he has commanded thee. For now with the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou has not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Oh, glory to God. Right here. It was because Saul got scared. He got nervous because it looked like Samuel was not going to come. But it said as soon as he made that move, here comes Samuel showing up. But Saul couldn't wait. I believe that it was on day 7. It wasn't over yet. He said, "Wait 7 days." But Saul got anxious. The people made him nervous, and they made him scared. He said, I got to do something, or they're going to come, and they're going to destroy us. But that's not what the prophet told him. He said, "Wait for me 7 days, and I'm going to show up." And he showed up. But by that time, Saul had gotten afraid, and he tried to bring himself out of that situation. I'm saying to you again, don't do what you're planning to do to get yourself out of there, just like Saul lost the kingdom because of that, becoming king, because he was not a priest, he was not a prophet, he was a king. He took on a role that was not even his. I'm saying to you, stay in your lane. Your lane is to be a child of the Most High God. Your lane is to not move. Your lane is to wait for instructions. Your lane is to trust God. Your lane is to believe what he said. Your lane is to have an expectation that God is going to bring you out because he said he was going to. Abandon your strategy. Abandon your plan because it will not suffice you. It will cause you to lose. It will cause you to have to stay in that situation longer because God is not called to honor something that he did not call. Hallelujah. Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged. If you are on this broadcast and you know that you're planning something to try to get yourself out, it was God that brought you to the broadcast tonight to tell you, but do not move. Do not move, my daughter or my son. I have you. I have you, and I am going to work the situation out. Do not go ahead of me. Do not go beyond me, but listen for my instructions, and my instructions are sure. My instructions are pure, and my instructions will bring you out to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God is faithful to his word. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And this is what he's even saying to us tonight. He says, come on, come on. I have you, and I have so much more for you, even in the coming days. Doubts, fears, weariness, need of provisions, tiredness, uncertainties, whatever is weighing you down, cast them on me. My desire is that you be free and able to set in the next of my doing. Nothing is too hard for me. Remind yourself of all that I have done for you and your family. My grace and my provisions do not run out. I declare and decree to you this day, there is more that awaits you. This is the truth of the matter. So elevate your level of expectation and know that it is so. New day, new things, new ways. And then he says, next. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So grateful to God. He's letting us know. He's letting us know that he has us, and he's going to bring us through to the other side. So we just ought to just thank him right there. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for calling us into the next that you have for us, the next that you're doing upon the earth, the next, God, that you have, that you're calling us to be a part of the move that you have for our personal lives, for the church, and for the earth. We thank you, Father, for calling us into the next. All right, now, we're going to drop down a little bit further into this next. Let's talk a little bit more about next. We're going to talk about preparation. We're going to talk about positioning. And we're going to talk about timing for the next. We gotta understand and know that our destiny and our purpose has already been mapped out. And the means by which to get there has already been put in place. Every person, every place, every gift, every opportunity, every provision. Remember, even every loss, not being a loss, but it is a win that further places us on the road of an expected end. Oh, glory to God. That right there. Every loss, let me repeat that one. Every loss is not a loss, but a win that further places us on a road of an expected end. When it looked like they left, I lost my job, I lost my car, I lost that relationship, that friendship, but not understanding that loss just placed you in a position to win. Because had you stayed in that position, here it is, God is calling you to be a CEO of a company. You lost your job and you're wondering how you're going to make it. But God now opens a door that you can get a job and move through the ranks, and the next thing you know, you're the CEO of a company. Oh, glory to God. So every loss is not a loss. If I am a child of God, oh, hallelujah, even my losses are wins. Because what? All things work together for the good. all things. So if I lose it and God doesn't restore that thing, it's because God has more for us. So don't always be broken down behind a loss, but say, but God, what am I supposed to learn in this? What lessons am I supposed to learn in this? What am I supposed to get in this? What promotions are coming out of this? Oh, we still talking about that expectation right there. What's coming out of this? I lost that, but God, what you got for me, Lord? Because I know you're still going to take care of me. I know there's another job. There's another friendship. There's another relationship that's going to push me into my expected end. So don't count all your losses as losses. Count your losses as wins. Oh, hallelujah, because God always has more for us. God will never ask us to give up something, or God allows it to be taken if God is not going to replenish it and replace it with something greater. Now, the thing that we get caught up in sometimes is the process of it, because we don't like the process of it, because it don't feel good when we lose stuff. But know this, that even in the process of it, when you come through it, that you're going to come through better than you were with it. And you'll look back and you're like, you know what? Man, God, I thank you. I cried about that job. I really cried about that job. But God, now I look and look how you have blessed me. You gave me a job now that it supersedes anything that I thought I would have. But God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you raised up a situation that caused me not to be in that job that now has caused me to be in this job. Somebody needs to be encouraged today. I don't know what you may have lost even in this day, but know this, if indeed you are a child of the Most High God, that even your losses are wins in the hands of God, that if God allows you to have lost it, it's because God is going to replace it with something better. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell yourself today, but if I lost it today, but my God's going to replenish it. He's going to make it better than it was before, and you can thank him for that. Even now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. So every loss is not a loss, but we can count it as a win, and it places us further on our road of an expected end. Talking about preparation for the next. And remember, this is David and Goliath. This is what I love. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17 and about 34, verse 34. And remember, when David was about to go to fight Goliath, and David said unto Saul, thy servant, and see, Saul is saying, like, you know, David, you know, this is the Philistine, like, you know, you're a little ruddy guy, and, you know, I don't know about this, David. And David says unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and then came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And then let's drop down to about 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assailed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone stuck into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. Oh, glory to God. Let me talk about preparation. But remember, David said that he slew the bear and the lion. Oh, hallelujah. So that was right. That was part of his preparation, that now that he knew that God was more than able, that helped him do that. He said, this is nothing for my God. If God did that for me, there's I can trust God and helping me with this. But then another thing, remember when Saul tried to get David to take his armor and take his stuff, you know, he was a king, so he had the best of stuff, but David said, No, this ain't been tested. I've never wore this. I don't know what this could do, but I know what this sling and the stones can do. I know what that can do because I've seen God move and allowed me to defeat what I needed to defeat. He said, but I'm not going to try your stuff. So let me say this. And when you're being prepared, let God prepare you. That God is preparing you in your uniqueness. And I said this yesterday at church. It's like, you know, don't try to be like somebody else, but allow God to prepare you in your uniqueness because you've been wired a certain way for your life. Your life may not look like Sally down the street, so you don't need to go through what she go through, and you don't need to be like Tim because, you know, you Bill, and your situations are different. Your purpose is different, and your process is different, so we have to allow God to bring us through. David said, I'm going to go with what I know. You got to go with what you know. What is your witness? If God has ever done anything for you, then you have a witness. You have a witness of what God can do. You can trust that if God did that, then God can do this, and God can do that. So David said, I'm a slinger. I know how to use this, and this is what I'm going to use. But check this out, y'all. I was doing some research when I talked about David, and there's this guy. His name is Eaton Hirsch. And Eaton Hirsch is a ballistic expert with the Israelite Defense Force. And he recently did a series of calculations showing that a typical size stone hurled by an expert slinger at a distance of 35 meters would have hit Goliath's head with the stopping power of today's handgun. Oh, glory to God. With a velocity of 34 meters per second, which means 75 miles per hour. And a slinger accuracy was equivalent to a sniper. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it wasn't where David was at the disadvantage. It was Goliath that was at the disadvantage, because here was Goliath, this big dude. He was a good target. You couldn't miss him, but they said a slinger accuracy was equivalent to a sniper. That they could take them. You know how snipers, they hide behind stuff. They far away, and they could just take anything out because they're that accurate with what they're doing. Well, so was David. David was a slinger. But not only that, is the speed of which that rock went, 75 miles per hour. Oh, glory to God. It had the stopping power of a handgun. So it wasn't David that was at a disadvantage, although it looked like. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So even looking at your situation, it looked like people don't count you out. People say, she can't do that. He can't do that. But they don't see the God that has prepared you when it didn't look like you were being prepared. Because a lot of times it doesn't look like we're being prepared, but our life prepares us for our journey. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it looked like, even tell yourself sometimes, you mean like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but know that there is some preparation that has taken place in your life that God has already prepared you for the next part that God has for you. So it wasn't David that was at the disadvantage. It was actually Goliath. Oh, hallelujah. 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 So God can say even to you tonight that you're not at a disadvantage. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. I know what's next for you. I know the places that you need to go to, and I know the things that you need to do. I was talking about this at church, and we're talking about preparation, how at Rehoboth Family Life Center, the executive pastor is Pastor Irma McKnight. Well, Pastor Irma McKnight and myself, I'm a city girl. She was born in the country. She's from Alabama. I'm from Philly. But we met at the church when I moved to Virginia. I came to the church first, and then not long after that, she came, and we became friends. Now, we're talking about preparation. We became friends at that church, and we began to do ministry things together. We began to do a women's Arise ministry, which was for women, and we did a lot of other outreach things together, and then we started Rehoboth Family Life Center. So God was preparing us. He was preparing us. He actually gathered me from Philadelphia, drew her from Alabama, had us meet at the same church, began to become friends, and began to do ministry together for a time such as this. Oh, don't tell me what God won't do. God will use everything in your life to prepare you if you let him lead you and guide you, that he will allow you to prepare. And even her and I remember when we were at the church, we did a project for Mother's Day, and we let the kids write letters, and we put them in a booklet. And I remember we said, okay, this is a really good idea. You know, it's going to bless the parents. We had a little cover on it and everything. And I remember going to her house, and we worked on that booklet. And we thought it was going to be an easy project. And me must have worked on that thing. I think I left her house like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, all evening, all night, to the next morning. But we had a good product when we was done. So even when we started the Arise Ministry, it was just her and I. And we would put all the bags together for the retreats, and she would do the programming, and we would load up the truck, and we would drive to the site, and by the time the women would come the next day, we would have all the things looking nice and pretty, and then God began to send help. But God was preparing us. He was preparing us to work together, to know what our gifts were, to be able to be used by God. God will prepare you. Even when it don't look like he's preparing you, God is preparing you. All right, we talked about preparation. Let's talk a little bit about timing, positioning and timing. Positioning and timing. Positioning and timing. Prime example is with Queen Esther. Remember when Queen Esther, it was Vashti. Vashti was the queen at first, and then her disobedience caused her to be put out and made room for Queen Esther, who now the Jewish people didn't need a queen, they need a deliverer. But the timing of God, it wasn't by chance that she was raised by her uncle Mordecai, who was there to instruct her and encourage her to take next. You got to be ready to take next. Because remember, when Vashti got put out, and now Queen Esther, well, she was Esther, she became queen, but now the situation arises where there's a decree that goes out that the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. But Mordecai talked to her, and she had to, first she was like, I can't go to the king because I wasn't invited, and you can get killed like that. So, but she began to pray, and she told him to pray, and she said, but you know, I'm going to see the king if I perish. She had next. Oh, glory to God. She had next. Vashti had to leave because Esther had to be put in place so that she could save the people. That was God. That was God's timing. That was God's positioning. And that's the kind of God that we serve. Also with Joseph. Joseph. I love Joseph. I love Joseph. Remember when Joseph was in the prison and he talked to the baker and the butler, and he told them, he gave them the interpretation of their dream, and it came to pass. So now the butler is back in position, Joseph tells him to tell the king Pharaoh, tell him, you know, I haven't done anything to be in this prison. He said, go tell him and tell him who I am. But here, after the butler was in position again, it was 2 years, 2 years. 2 years. There was no mention of Joseph for 2 years. But now the king has a dream. He has a dream, and nobody could interpret the dream. And so the butler says, you know what? There was this guy that was in the prison, and we had a dream, and he interpreted, and how he interpreted, it came to pass. So they said, okay, Joseph, go get Joseph out of the prison and bring him here to the palace to see whether he can interpret the dream. Now, it was 2 years that Joseph had told the butler. But see, if the butler had told the king about Joseph when he first got there, it would have meant nothing to the king. It had to be the perfect timing. I'm talking about God, 2 years. But while Joseph was waiting for those 2 years, Joseph also was learning and being prepared and in position to be able to know about the Egyptians, how they lived, how they thought, you know, what was their priorities. He learned all about them during those 2 years while he was waiting. So when he got to the palace, he was able to interpret the dream, not only interpret the dream, but now he becomes second in command. Oh, hallelujah. You're talking about the timing of God. But one of the things that God said, he said, but remember, once he left the prison, he never had an experience like that again. He went from the pit, and he was in prison, and now he's at the palace. But God said, he said, to tell somebody, hallelujah, he said to tell you some hardships you will never have to experience again. Some things that you've gone through, he said, stop watching yourself as a protective measure. He that brought you through is saying that not again. He said there may be things you may be going through, but it won't be that thing. That thing, that place that you thought would take you out or you would not survive. But God said, but when I bring you out, that thing, that situation, you will never have to go through that again. He says, not part of your next. Oh, glory to God. Not part of your next. Stop watching yourself, he said, so closely. Sometimes when we've been in lack and we come out of lack, we hold on so tight because we never want to go back to that. But if we're holding on so tight, we still can't enjoy what God has given us. But God said that thing that you thought was going to take you out, when I bring you out, you don't have to worry about it anymore because that is not going to be part of your next. Joseph never had a pit experience, prison experience after that. He was second in command, and he kept growing, and he was delivering his people, his family, and he became second in command. So God said, oh, hallelujah, my timing. He says what sometimes appear to be no, it's not really no, it's just not now. It's not now. He said timing is off. God knows that things are not in place to suffice and sustain a thing or event. He knows his plan and the time for things to come to pass. Trust God's timing. Ecclesiastes 13:1 and 11 says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heavens. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Oh, glory to God. There is a timing with God. When it looks like he's saying no. It's not that he's saying no. He just said not now. The timing is off. He says, if I gave you that now, you do not have what it takes to suffice or sustain you there. He says, if I did it now, he says that all the other components that go with that thing to bless you is not in place yet. So we have to trust the timing of God. It's not always when it looks like it may be no, but did he say no? Did he say no? If he has not in fact told you no, then you got to hold on to that thing. You still have to have an expectation that it's going to come to pass. But sometimes God will tell you that it's just not time. The timing is off. I have a situation before God now, and not long ago he told me that surely what I told you is going to come to pass. But it can't come to pass now because the timing is off. There are some things that I still need you to do, and I need you to be over here and not over there. I remember even before I left Philly, I thought I was going to be moving in December. But he says, no, there's still some things I need you to close off and some things I need you to do. He says, so no, we're not going to do it now because there's still things to do. I didn't move until July. But when I moved in July, all the things that he said that needed to be in place, even people that needed to be in place. Let me say that to you. There are people that God has placed favor in for you. Just like Vashti had to get out of the way so Queen Esther could come in and become queen. She could become queen. There are people that are in position that God will move them out of the way so that you can come in that seat. But it's got to be the right timing. And you got to trust the timing of God. If he didn't say no, it ain't no. It's just not now. And you got to wait and know that God knows the perfect timing so he can give you a thing, but can you sustain it? Can you be sufficed in that thing? We've got to wait on the timing of God for it to come to pass. Trust God's timing. He makes everything. He makes everything beautiful in his time. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Remember also David. David was anointed king over Israel by Samuel, and he went back to tending his father's sheep. In 1 Samuel 16:13, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Years before he became king of Judah, and then years before he became king of Israel, God was doing things in and with David. Preparation was progressive. Know that preparation takes time, but it's sure with God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preparation is progressive. It will take you from point A to point B. But we serve a God that can go to point A, come back to Z, and come back to H and still get the job done. That's the kind of God that we serve. But we got to trust God. We got to trust God, y'all. Do you got next? God is preparing you to take next in this next part of what he's doing in the earth, in your personal life, in the church, in the world. Do you have next? Will you be able to say, I got next, and it's my turn? It's my turn because God says so. God says he's going to prepare you. God says that it has to be his timing. God is going to position you in places. He's even positioning people right now that will be able to have favor on your life. The lady that approved my application when I moved here, the lady didn't know me. She was like, I don't even know why I'm approving this. You don't have no job. You know, I don't even know why. But if you could show me this, and then I'm going to approve your application. She didn't know why, but that was God. Had I came in December, she might not have been working in the office. But when I applied in July or June, she was the one that God had placed favor for me in her. Let God do this thing, y'all. Let God do this thing. Let God do it so you'll be able to say, I got next because it's my turn. Why? Because my daddy said so. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we just bless you. You know what I want to do? I have some other things that I want to share, but I'm going to do part two next month. I'm going to stop right here tonight. I want to do part two, because I believe that there is more that God wants to say to us about you got next. You got next, because he wants to use us in the next as well. So, Father God, we just bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We just bless you. God, we bless you, God. We bless you for the next, God. We thank you for the next. We thank you for the new day, the new things, and the new ways, and all that you have for us. We thank you, Lord God. God, and we bless you. Help us to just to know that you're God. Help us to know that, God, that your timing is not our timing, but you are strategic, God, and you know the best time for something to come to pass. And that we thank you, Lord God, that help us to be obedient. Help us to wait on you, God. Help us to raise our level of expectation. Help us to become joyful in knowing that, God, that you're going to bring us out. And when you bring us out, Lord God, that it's going to be good, Father God, in the new day, the new things, and the new way. So, God, we thank you. And I pray that your hand, even tonight, would be upon these, your people. I pray blessings upon them, oh, God. Oh, God, that they may wait on you and trust you, Lord God, knowing that, God, that your ways are not their ways. And God, your timing is not their timing. But, God, that your word is your word, God, and your promises are yea and amen. So, Father, we thank you for the new day, for the new things, and the new ways. And God, we want to be in the move, God, your next move upon the earth. Help us to be still and to know that you're God and that there is nothing too hard for you. So, Father, we thank you tonight and we bless you, God, and we honor you, God, and we adore you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we serve an awesome God. So if you're with me tonight on the broadcast, and let me ask you another, I had a lot of questions tonight for you guys, right? But if you're on the broadcast tonight and you have never asked Jesus Christ to just to be your priority, to show you the way, so that you can be still, that you can trust, and that you can believe, and that your expectation could be greater than what it is, and you're not trying to work it out, figure it out, but you want to trust in a God that's more than able. So I say this to, I want to offer you Jesus Christ tonight. I want to offer you the one that loves you, the one that will lead and guide you, and you don't have to depend on you, but you can depend on him. So I just want to offer that to you tonight. And if you're on the broadcast with me, and that's you, that you want to make him your priority, you may not understand it all, but I want to do it. I want my life to be different. I want to change my life. I want to be a better husband, a better wife. I want to be a better mother, a better father, just another person. I want to know who I am and why am I here upon the earth. Then I want you to repeat this after me. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I'm asking for forgiveness tonight. And I'm asking that, Jesus, that you would be my priority, that I'm no longer looking to me. I'm not looking to folks, but I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. I'm looking for God to lead and guide me. And I'll thank you for it. I'll thank you for it. I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that my life can change today. And I thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're with me on the broadcast and you prayed that with me tonight, then I ask that you send me something. So you could send me an email. You can send me something in Facebook, Messenger, and let me just know. You may be able to put it even in the chat and say that it was you, and I'll be able to send you some information to help you on your journey. And I'd like just to know, I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you, but I want to know. I want to know that you made that decision tonight. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank you guys. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for joining me tonight for the broadcast. And know that there is more. Look for the new days, the new things, and the new ways. Not back, but forward. So join me again next month. Invite some folks to come and hang out with us on next month as well. And I'm going to be doing part two. So, guys, enjoy the rest of your week. Be blessed. Don't forget, you know, check us out on Tuesday night Bible study. You can find that information on Facebook, our Facebook page for the church, Rehoboth Family Life Center. And you can join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Facebook Live under Rehoboth Family Life Center as well. So God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Now hold for the final words. Love you guys, love you guys.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.